السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. آمين يا رب العالمين. ثم أما بعد. A few weeks ago we started the dars on Surah Al-Kawthar and we actually covered fairly comprehensively a discussion on the first ayah of Surah Al-Kawthar. So today's agenda is to try to finish the surah starting with the ayah فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. But before we get into the ayat themselves, there are a couple of things that need to be clarified. First, as a matter of overview, this surah, there's majority opinion that it came down regarding a series of incidents that are very similar. So there's no absolute opinion on which one incident it came down regarding, but all of the incidents that are narrated are all similar. But essentially they are incidents in which the Prophet ﷺ was insulted by the kuffar. There were some disbelievers who came and said something inappropriate to the Prophet ﷺ, and we'll see what those comments are. We read some of them last time, but inshallah ta'ala today, when we get to the ayah, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ, we'll see that in more detail. Nonetheless, the context is something negative. It's something that happened that isn't a pleasant incident in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. But Allah takes this negative incident, but doesn't begin with it. He began with something positive. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Allah giving the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam al-kawthar is something entirely the opposite. It's extremely positive. And this is teaching us an important lesson in the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and also in the work of da'wah. Something really disturbing, hurtful has happened to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but Allah wants his focus on something positive. Focus on what Allah has given you instead. Focus on what the kawthar that Allah Azza wa Jal has given you. That's the first lesson here. Of course, also there's something as a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. He mentions the good before he mentions the evil. So he mentioned the good in the ayah, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Then also in Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Then he mentioned the evil, Inna shani'ak, your enemy. The enemy is mentioned at the end. Also, this is again part of the love Allah has for His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. The words that were said were very painful. And you know, we know that there are many words that are said against the Prophet ﷺ that are painful. You know, he was called insane. You know, وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ. They say that he's insane. They called him, وَيَقُولُونَ سَاحِرٌ. They said he's a magician. They said that he's a liar. سَاحِرٌ كَذَّاب, a magician and a liar. So they made all these hurtful allegations against him, but this one is special. This one hurt extra. This one hurt extra. And I talked a little bit about why this hurt extra, but I'll review that with you because that's important to note here. You see, the narration goes that the Messenger ﷺ lost one of his children, one of his sons. And this is, we'll see the names of these sons in the next narration, but the idea is he lost a child and the news spread. You know the kind of pain a parent goes through when they lose a child? And you know the people that come to you, they try to give you consolation and they try to give you some words that will make the pain, at least help you bear with the pain. And when you see someone going through that suffering, even if they are your enemy, you would just take a back seat and not say something because after all, they've lost a child. That much humanity and that much compassion, all human beings share with each other. When Abu Jahl gets this news, and he's his uncle after all, you're expecting some compassion at least from your family. This entire conflict aside, in the end, you're still family. But no, he has so much animosity against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he goes around and starts celebrating and starts going around laughing and telling people, "Batara Muhammadun." We'll see that narration. Oh, Muhammad, his legacy has been discontinued. His name will not be mentioned again. In other words, the only way your name is continued is through sons. And since he lost his son, he only has daughters. His name will not be mentioned ever again. This is a temporary problem because his legacy will not be carried out by his sons because that's the only means by which a legacy is carried out. You know, at a painful moment like that, to turn that into a means to say hurtful, painful things. So these words themselves are extremely painful. And they're so painful that Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't quote what they said. He doesn't tell us what they said. You see, Allah didn't say يَقُولُونَ هُوَ أَبْتَرْ or هُوَ بَتَرْ. He didn't say, they say that he has been, his legacy is discontinued. He didn't bring up that wound for the Prophet ﷺ, like he does when they say he's insane or he's a magician or he's a liar. He does quote them, but here he didn't quote them. He just went straight to the consolation, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرْ. Your enemy, he is going to be discontinued. So he didn't even bring up this, the thing that which the kuffar had said. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an indication of the love Allah has for His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then finally, what we learn in this surah is something remarkable. Not only does Allah change the Messenger's focus, he just feels like he's lost something. When you lose a child, you feel like nothing you get matters. Right? This is important. This would happen to any human being. This would happen to any human being. When they lose a child, you wouldn't worry about the house or the bank or anything like that. On your mind is just that overwhelming loss of a child. It's the greatest treasure a parent receives, right? But at that point, Allah Azza wa Jal turns his focus around and gives him the first remedy, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. He's just lost a child and Allah tells him, you've received a lot. You've gained much. And there's a list that we went through last time, what Allah has given His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the second thing. But even after that, the remedy, how do you deal with pain? What we're learning in this surah also, in addition to the response to the kuffar, is how are we supposed to deal with, you know, painful loss? You know, overwhelming depression and loss that we suffer, especially with loss of family. First, you focus on what Allah has given you. And second, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Allah tells His Messenger, pray. The remedy for dealing with suffering, the remedy Allah gives His Messenger Himself, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is prayer itself, subhanallah. So this is, you know, from two angles. One, the salah has to do with the last ayah, and the other, the salah has to do with the first ayah. The salah is the central ayah. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ is the middle ayah of the surah. The first ayah deals with the gift Allah has given the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what's the thing you should do when you receive a gift? You should thank. And the best way to thank is salah. So in response to the first ayah, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. And second is the pain that he's being, you know, the pain that is hurled his way by his enemies in the last ayah. And to deal with that, what do? You stand in salah. So for both of those, the positive and the negative, the response for that is salah, subhanallah. Now in regards to the children of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال, it is narrated by Ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه, كان أكبر ولدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم القاسم. The biggest child, the oldest child of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, his name is قاسم رضي الله عنه, ثم زينب, then زينب, ثم عبد الله, then عبد الله, ثم أم كلثوم, ثم فاطمة, ثم رقية, فَمَاتَ الْقَاسِمُ. So now we find the sequence, the ages. So the oldest child, Qasim, then Zainab, then Abdullah, then Kulthum, then Fatima, then Ruqayya. And so first, in the late Meccan period, Qasim passes away. Then later on, Abdullah passes away in the Madani era. So some argue that this incident happened at the death of Qasim radiallahu anhu. Others argue that it happened at the death of Abdullah. And then another narration, we find another child's name, Ibrahim radiallahu anhu. Right, so it's argued which child's passing that this happened. Again, in Abu Ayyub, he narrates, لَمَّا مَاتَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ بِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَشَى الْمُشْرِكُونَ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ فَقَالُوا. So when Ibrahim رضي الله عنه died, the son of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the mushrikun, they went running after one another towards each other and saying, إِنَّ هَذَا الصَّابِئ قَدْ بَطَرَ اللَّيْلَةِ. That this sabi' means someone who cannot have children anymore. So cannot have sons, doesn't have a following. He just became, his legacy became discontinued tonight. So they were celebrating in that night. So the stronger narration actually points to the passing of Ibrahim radiallahu anhu. So فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ is the ayah begins with fa. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. The fa here, Imam al-Alusi rahimahullah comments on this word. He says, al-fa fi qawlihi ta'ala, the fa when Allah mentions in this ayah, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ لِتَرْتِيبِ مَا بَعْدَهَا عَلَى مَا قَبْلَهَا عَلَى مَا قَبْلِهَا. He says, this is to illustrate the importance of what is coming after, to connect it with what came before. فَإِنَّ إِعْطَاءَ تَعَالَى إِيَّاهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ مَا ذُكِرَ مِنَ الْعَطِيَّةِ الَّتِي لَمْ يُعْطِهَا أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. That it is because of what Allah has given to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the granting Allah has given to His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, that is mentioned in the first ayah, something that has never been given to anyone in all of the nations and peoples of the world. مُسْتَوْجَبٌ لِلْأُمُورِ لِلْمَأْمُورِ بِهِ Istijab, it necessitates that it be responded to. When such a huge favor is done, it is necessary that you respond to that favor. أي فَدُمْ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ لِرَبِّكَ. That the messenger is being told, because that huge favor has been done to you, be consistent. دُمْ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ. He's arguing, Imam al-Alusi rahimahullah, be consistent in the salah for the sake of your master. Just as a small reminder once again, in the previous surah, we read the people who when they pray, first of all, they're relaxed about it, they don't really care. And when they pray to show off. And the opposite is being mentioned here. When you make salah, make it for your Rabb. Fasalli, he didn't just say fasalli, because the command is done. Like in other places we find aqimis salah, right? Just aqimis salah. But here, fasalli li rabbik, for your master, for your Lord, which simplifies or clarifies rather the intention. So salli. فَإِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ جَامِعَةٌ لِجَمِيعِ أَقْسَامِ الشُّكْرِ. This is very important. Allah mentions salah instead of mentioning washkur. Washkur rabbak. Be grateful to your master. Right? When a favor is done, the response is gratitude. So the way we understand this is that the salah is جَامِعَةٌ لِجَمِيعِ أَقْسَامِ الشُّكْرِ. It's the most comprehensive of all the ways you can thank Allah. The best way to thank Allah, the most comprehensive and most complete way to thank Allah is to actually make salah to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why we find in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when something good happens, what does he do immediately? When some good news comes, what does he do? He immediately makes 2 rak'ah. Right? And this is his way of showing gratitude. And this is something we should incorporate in our lives. When a favor is done, when we find some good news coming, then immediately our show of gratitude should be, thank Allah in the best possible way, make salah before Allah Azza wa Jal. So, فَاسْتَخْدَمَ فَصَلِّ دُونَ فَشْكُرُ. So he uses the word فَصَلِّ instead of saying فَشْكُرُ. وَالْمُرَادِ بِالصَّلَاةِ عِنْدَ أَبِي مُسْلِمْ الصَّلَاةِ الْمَفْرُوضَةِ. Abu Muslim says that this salah that Allah mentions, but then pray, is referring to the mandatory prayers. That's what he says. Ibn Abbas says that وَذَهَبَ جَمْعًا إِلَى أَنَّهَا جِنْسُ الصَّلَاةِ. That by just Allah saying pray, but he didn't qualify. Pray which ones? It means all kinds of prayer. Pray all the time. The fard prayers and even additional prayers. Others had different opinions about the word salah in this ayah. They said وَقِيلَ الْمُرَادِ بِهَا صَلَاةُ الْعِيدِ بِالنَّحْرِ. That they said because wanhar is mentioned after, wanhar to sacrifice or to slaughter, actually more closely to slaughter, not sacrifice. Sacrifice has other words in Arabic. But you know, because of that word, some said, no, this is referring specifically to the prayer made on Eid day. So when you make the salah and then you go and sacrifice, so that connecting the two together. But really the majority opinion is, this is not specifically any one salah. The messenger is being told, whenever difficulty comes to you, the first thing, remember the good that has been given to you. And second, make salah. Make salah. So that's the overall understanding. Al-murad salatu subh bi muzdalifa and nahr bi ma'na bi mina. This is the other opinion finally in regards to this, that when Allah says salah, it means that the morning prayer at the occasion of Muzdalifa and Hajj, and then wanhar in the area of Mina. وَالْأَكْثَرُونَ أَنَّ الْمُرَادِ بِالنَّحْرِ نَحْرَ الْأَضَاحِيِ. This is also important, that the majority opinion of nahr, wanhar, which is commonly translated as sacrifice, right? That the majority opinion is this is the sacrifice of the day of Eid al-Adha. That's the majority opinion. Though there are other opinions that we will see. But before we get to them, we find an interesting commentary by Zamakhshari. He says, وَإِنَّ سُنَّةَ الْقُرْآنِ ذِكْرُ الزَّكَاةِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ. Or actually, بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ آتُ الزَّكَاةِ. So here the same thing has been mentioned. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ. Because nahr, the sacrificial animal, what happens to the meat? It's given in sadaqah. It's a form of zakah. It's a form of giving. It's a form of sadaqah. So the salah is mentioned first. Just like everywhere else, Allah says, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ first, and آتُ الزَّكَاةَ second. So the two have been distinguished from each other. مَعَ أَنَّ الْقَوْمِ كَانُوا يُصَلُّونَ وَيَنْحَرُونَ لِلْأَوْثَانِ. And this is also important because this was a nation that used to pray and sacrifice before idols. فَالْأَنْسَبْ أَنْ يُؤْمَرْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي مُقَابَلَتِهِمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَانْحَرْ لَهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So it's important that Allah mentions the exact opposite attitude, which is that salah should be made only to Him and sacrifice be done only for Allah Azza wa Jal. فَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ الَّذِي أَعَزَّكَ بِإِعْطَائِهِ. This is again Zamakhshari's commentary. Then enslave yourself to your master, the one who has given you authority and has given you honor because of the grants that he has given you. وَشَرَّفَكَ, and who's honored you. مُرَاغَمًا لِقَوْمِكَ الَّذِينَ يَعْبُدُونَ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ. As opposed to your nation who worship other than Allah. وَنْحَرْ لِوَجْهِهِ بِسْمِهِ إِذَا نَحَرْتَ. And when you sacrifice, sacrifice only for the sake of seeing His pleasure. مُخَالِفًا لَهُمْ فِي النَّحْرِ لِلْأَوْثَانِ, as opposed to them who sacrifice for idols. I'm not going to read you the next paragraph, but I will give you its summary. الشوكاني رحمه الله in his famous tafsir فتح القدير, commenting on the word نحر in one نحر, which again translated as a command form sacrifice. In commenting on it, actually, he narrates a hadith which is not agreed upon, but nonetheless it's important to mention because he did comment on it. In this hadith, the messenger essentially says that nahr here, nahira, is not nahr of sacrifice, but rather it's the nahr referring to the raising of the hands when you make salah. You know, this raf al-yadain, raising of the hands, that's also called nahr in this hadith. So some ulama have taken that opinion of the tafsir and said that this is saying, the first make salah and make sure you begin the salah with the takbir, and then its benefits have been mentioned in other places in the Qur'an, and the blessings of this raf al-yadain is mentioned. Now, which part of the salah and which raf al-yadain, that's not been specified. Nonetheless, that's not the majority opinion, that's a very minority opinion. The overwhelming majority say that wanhar refers to the sacrifice of the animal on the day of Eid. We have to also understand why this is mentioned. Why fasalli li rabbika wanhar? When we move later on, we'll see how this is connected directly to the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So, in regards to this ayah, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu goes further to say, الصَّلَاةُ الْمَكْتُوبَةُ وَالذِّبْحُ يَوْمَ الْأَضْحَى. He says this salah is of course the mandatory prayer, and then the sacrifice again, يَوْمَ الْأَضْحَى. Bayhaqi says, ذِبْح يَوْمَ النَّحْرِ. Same concept. Al-Bayhaqi says this wanhar is the sacrifice on the day of Nahr, which is the day of Eid. Now, what are the words in Arabic? This is just on a side vocabulary for those of you that are studying Qur'an more deeply and want to get a little bit of insight on vocabulary. The words used in the Qur'an to describe animals that are to be sacrificed are budun, nusuk, hadi, and qala'id. These are the different words used for animals that are to be sacrificed. None of these are used here, by the way, right? Budun is used for an animal that is large, that's large in size, and that an animal, when it's sacrificed, its blood hasn't even dried up yet. Such an animal is called budun. Then nusuk is a sacrifice made only for the sake of pleasing Allah or getting close to Allah. As an act of devotion to Allah, such a sacrifice is called nusuk. Like in the ayah, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati. Right, that ayah. So the word nusuk is a sacrifice made to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Hadi is a sacrifice that is made so the flesh of it, the meat of it, is taken to the house of Allah for distribution. That's called hadi. Then qala'id, that's the plural word. Qalada is the singular. Qalada is an animal that has been marked for sacrifice. You've reserved it for sacrifice, but you haven't sacrificed it yet. And the way they would do that is they would hang something around its neck, like a garland around its neck, so it's known that this animal is to be sacrificed. Whether it's at the occasion of Hajj or otherwise, that's what that's called. So these are the words for the animals of sacrifice. But then there are three words in the Qur'an for sacrifice itself. Slaughter itself, the act itself. The three words are, the first one is ذَبَحَ. Okay? So, or ذِبْح we call, ذَبِيحَ also, right? That's the word that's used, it's a common term. This is to slaughter something for religious motives. And this is to slaughter something for a higher agenda. And this word has been used for religious terms in Islam, and it's also been used in the most hideous terms too. Because, for example, with Fir'aun we find يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Right? They used to slaughter their children. So it's used generally for slaughter. Then we have the word ذَكَّى. ذَكَّى. For example, in the ayah, وَمَا أَكَلَ السُّبُعُ إِلَّا مَا ذَكَّيْتُمْ. ذَكَّى is used to kill an animal quickly, and swiftly and painlessly. It's usually used, you know, when you have you find in the woods an animal that was eaten up by another predator, but he didn't kill it. It's injured, but it's not killed. Now, it's still not haram. So if you slaughter it quickly and painlessly, then you can still eat it, and that's what the ayah is discussing. Then the word ذَكَّى is used. Also generally used when you kill something painlessly and quickly. Then إِلَّا مَا ذَكَّيْتُمْ. But then we get to the word نَحْر. Why did Allah use نَحْر? He didn't say فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَذْبَحْ. Right? He didn't use that. وَذَبِّحْ. He didn't use ذَبِّحْ also. He used وَنْحَر specifically. Now listen to this. This is beautiful. He said, Allah Azza wa Jal uses the word nahr, it literally means that which is above the chest. Okay? And when people hang themselves or cut their own neck, you know, they do suicide, it's called intihar in Arabic, from the same root. So that's what intihara comes from. Also, now moving on this word, it literally, most literally means to cut in the throat. To cut in the throat is nahr. Now, specifically Allah highlighted cutting the animal at the throat in this surah. Why? You see, we learned before that this entire surah has to do with the Messenger fulfilling the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, as opposed to the Quraysh, who were not able to fulfill that legacy, and how miserably they failed is mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'un. Now, cutting at the throat, who does that remind you of? Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that's where this began. This entire tradition of the sacrifice of Eid al-Adha, where does it begin? It begins with that original sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And by precisely using this word beautifully, Allah Azza wa Jal tells His Messenger, these people were told, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, two surahs ago. They should enslave themselves to the master of this house. They failed. How did they fail? رَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يُدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. They failed miserably. Now it's your job to fulfill the dua and the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And what is that legacy? فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Subhanallah. How beautifully Allah Azza wa Jal places that word, completing, letting us know that the Messenger himself is not only the fulfillment of the dua of Ibrahim, it's the fulfillment of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ. Now we come to the last ayah. إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. The word إِنَّ is important. I've mentioned this many times before in this series. The word إِنَّ is used in Arabic to talk to someone who's in doubt. Someone who's in doubt. In this surah, the audience, the primary audience, is the Messenger himself, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah does not address the kuffar. He doesn't even address them. He's only concerned with His Messenger. That in and of itself is a show of love by the Messenger, by Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because if the enemy attacks, instead of going after the enemy, Allah makes sure that the Messenger's feelings are not hurt. So He comes to the aid of His Messenger instead, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? So first thing He says is, inna. There is no doubt. I'm not saying certainly or verily, because those are old English terms. I'm trying to make it as contemporary as possible. There's absolutely no doubt. Now when you say there's absolutely no doubt, before you say something, clearly there is a doubt that you're trying to remove. That's why you say there's no doubt. So what is the doubt? You see, this is the Meccan period. And in the Meccan period, the Quraysh have a lot of power, and the Messenger does not have much physical power. There's no armies behind him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba are few in number, and even the ones he has are being oppressed and tortured. So they're not in any position of power. So when the Quraysh, who are outnumbering them and outpowering them, and they even have control of the Qibla, and they can say these kinds of things to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any physical response, no retaliation, then it seems like they are in fact in a position of power, and we don't have much to go on. But Allah says, no, as powerful as they look, they'll be cut off. No doubt about it. Don't be in any doubt about that fact. Inna shani'aka huwal abtar. Now we come to the word shani. Actually, before we come to shani, we'll work backwards. We'll go to the word batr. Ibn Jarir comments in his commentary, batara Muhammadun minna. Abdullah ibn Muhammad, it's the passing of Abdullah ibn Muhammad, and this rumor was spread that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is cut off. Batr in Arabic is used when the tail of an animal is cut off. That's where it's used. And it's a show of the animal is humiliated. And the way the Arab would be humiliated is, his future generations will not carry his name. Now who carries your name? The son or the daughter? The son carries your name, right? The son carries your name. The daughter will get married and carry the name of her husband, and so on and so forth, right? So if your son, your name will not be carried, you should be as embarrassed as an animal whose tail has been cut off. That's the literal interpretation of the word batr. And this word they started using for the Prophet ﷺ. This was also used by Abu Lahab, by the way, for the Prophet ﷺ. And in response, Allah says, abtar, even more cut off, and truly cut off will be the enemy of the Prophet ﷺ. It is he who will be cut off, not you. Now why is that important? We're going to read the commentary of the ulama on this word, and we'll discover why Allah Azza wa Jal uses this word and what the power of this word is in this surah. إِنَّ مَنْ أَبْغَضَكْ مِنْ قَوْمِكْ لَمُخَالِفَتُكْ لَهُمْ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرْ لَا أَنْتْ. Look, Allah says, you know the word huwa? He's commenting on the word huwa, Zamakhshari is. He says, you know how in English they say, your enemy will be discontinued. Your enemy will be cut off. As opposed to saying, it is your enemy that's going to get cut off. Now when you put it like that, it is your enemy that's going to get cut off, you actually said something else without saying it. I'll give you a simpler example first. If my child says to me, "It wasn't me who drank the milk. It wasn't me who drank the milk." You know, they're actually saying something else. It wasn't me who drank it. My brother did. Right? Or she did. Or something else. There's another sentence there, it's understood. By mentioning huwa here, al-ithbat ala ghayr al-fa'il. This is a tool in Arabic. It is your enemy that is in fact going to get cut off. What's the part that is understood? Not you. Not you. La ant. Not you. Now, Allah did not mention that part. He implied it, but He didn't mention it. Now, why not mention it? This is also, the Mufassir is mentioning it, the language mentions it, but how come Allah didn't spell it out? Because Allah doesn't even want to mention that comment associated with His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He doesn't even bring that up. This is again a show of the nobility of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the word abtar is used for the enemy, but only implied that you are not part of this, but not even stated in that way, so that painful statement wouldn't be brought up again, subhanAllah. لِأَنَّ كُلَّ مَنْ يُولَدْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَهُمْ أَوْلَادُكَ وَأَعْقَابُكَ. Because all of those who believe until the day of judgment, every single child that is born with the adhan being given in their ear, every single one of them is from your progeny now. They are from your children and they're from your legacy and your continuity. Their idea of continuing your memory, your legacy, was having children. And the Messenger has been given a new way to continue his legacy. A way that nobody else has ever been given. So it doesn't matter if somebody says La ilaha illallah in China, or they say it in Africa, they love the Messenger equally, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than they love their own nation and their tribe and their nationality and their heritage. You ask them, who do you love the most? Any child who bears La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, they will show that affiliation first. Subhanallah. No family enjoys this kind of tight. You know, families have fights within each other. Right? Families they break up. And they break over inheritance and this and that and the other. And Allah gave His Messenger a family. This family that Allah gave. This ummah, subhanAllah. What kind of continuation of legacy Allah gave. So He says in comparison, هو الأبتر. He's the one who's going to be discontinued. فمثلك لا يقال له أبتر. And then the other one, actually, anyone, the likes of you, could never be called abtar. This is the commentary again. وَإِنَّمَا الْأَبْتَرُ هُوَ شَانِئُكَ الْمُنْسَى فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. The one who's truly discontinued, al-munqati', the one who's cut off, is the enemy that you have. The one who is cut off in this world and in the next. وَإِنْ ذُكِرَ ذُكِرَ بِاللَّعْنِ. And even if he is mentioned, he's mentioned in a means by which he is cursed. Every time we mention the people who cursed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another dua is made against them, another weight of the hellfire's punishment is burdened upon them with our duas against them. And every generation of believers, even if they do mention Abu Jahl or Abu Lahab, they don't pray for them or praise them. They curse them even more, and Allah accepts the cursing of the believer against them. So millions upon billions upon people, generation after generation, who's buried under... Now that's the kind of legacy they deserve. You want a legacy? We'll get you a legacy. You know, and they thought their legacy is going to be continued by means of their sons. SubhanAllah. وَكَانُوا يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَنْبُورٌ. Again, they used to say that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is completely, you know, left unsupported. إِذَا مَاتَ مَاتَ ذِكْرُهُ. When he dies, his mention will die with him. That's what they used to say. Because he has no sons. Who's going to remember him? وَقِيلَ نَزَلَتْ فِي الْعَاصِ بِنْ وَائِلِ. It's also been said, this ayah came about, عَاصِ بِنْ وَائِلِ, لَعَنَهُ اللَّهِ. وَقَدْ سَمَّاهُ الْأَبْتَرِ. And he had named the Prophet Abtar. وَالْأَبْتَرِ الَّذِي لَا عَقْبَ لَهُ. And Abtar is the one who has no backing. There's nobody behind him. وَمِنْهُ الْحِمَارَ الْأَبْتَرَ الَّذِي لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. It's also linguistically, like I said, the donkey or the animal whose tail has been cut off, who has no tail. قَدِمَ كَعْب بِنْ الْأَشْرَفْ. Another story that's narrated in regards to this surah. كَعْب بِنْ أَشْرَفْ came to Mecca. فَقَالَتْ لَهُ قُرَيْشْ. Quraysh said to him, أَنْتَ خَيْرُ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ وَسَيِّدُهُمْ. You are the best of the people of Medina and their leader. أَلَا تَرَى إِلَى هَذَا الصَّابِئِ الْمُنْبَتِرْ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ يَزْمُعُ أَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِنَّا. Didn't you look at this one that has no support, this orphan that is cut off even in his future generations from their from his nation, he thinks that he is better than us. وَنَحْنُ أَهْلُ الْحَجِيجِ. But we are the people who take care of the people who make hajj. وَأَهْلُ السِّقَايَ. And we give people drink. وَأَهْلُ السِّدَانَ. وَقَالَ أَنْتُمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. And so this guy came Ka'b bin Ashraf came, he came to Mecca from Medina, and they said, you see this guy? He thinks he's better than us. Look at us, we take care of the Kaaba, we do this, we do that. What do you think? Who's better and who's going to be cut off? Whose name will never be mentioned again? So he says, Antum khayrun minhu. You're obviously better than him. That's what he said. And so, فَنَزَلَتْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْطَرِ. And as a result of that comment, that this ayah came, your enemy, he will be the one to be discontinued. Now about the word shani. The common translation, you know, in Arabic what they do is, to simplify things, a word is translated with another word. So shani ay adu. Shani, the word enemy, translated adu, which English again comes out as enemy. But that's confusing for us in English, because if adu is enemy and shani is enemy, then why are there two different words? What makes them different? And of course, adu is used in the Quran. For example, adu is used for Fir'aun. Adu li wa adu lahu. It's used when Musa alayhi salam, you know, when he was brought up to the water and the child was picked up. يَأْخُذْهُ عَدُوٌ لِّي وَعَدُوٌ لَّهُ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. Right? Adu is used for shaitan, it's used for Fir'aun, it's used in many, many places. But here specifically, shani. Why not adu? إِنَّ عَدُوَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. What's the difference between these two words? First of all, understand that there are three words for animosity. There's shana'an, from we get shani. That's the first word. The second word is bughd, baghda. From the one who does it is called baghid or mughbid, or mubghid rather. And the third is adu, from udwan and adawa. There are three words. So by the end of this dars, inshallah ta'ala, we'll understand the difference between these three and why specifically this word has profound benefits in this ayah. So, now in regards to abtar, wa aslu al-bitr al-qat'a. The origin of bitr is to be cut. وَشَاعَ فِي قَطْعِ الذَّنْبِ. Like we said, the cutting of the tail of an animal. Actually, I'll skip this part because we did that already. Let's go to the commentary. Oh, this is beautiful. The commentary of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He wrote actually a thesis on Surah Al-Kawthar. It's a beautiful thesis. I've actually heard that it's been translated recently. So if you get your hands on it, try to look it up online or something, inshallah, or in an Islamic bookstore, and get it. Because it's a very, very beautifully written paper on Surah Al-Kawthar. إِنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ يُبْتِرُ شَانِئَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. It is as though Allah Azza wa Jal, how perfect He is, has cut the enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from any possible good. He didn't just say cut off from your future legacy, cut off, which means it's cut off universally, in absolute terms. فَيُبْتِرُ أَهْلَهُ. So he cut off his family, وَمَالَهُ, and his wealth. فَيُخْسِرُ ذَلِكَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُبْتِرُ حَيَاتَهُ. So, and he will suffer loss in the hereafter, and even in this life now. فَلَا يَنْتَفِعْ بِهَا. Whether he has money or wealth, even if he has them, he won't benefit from them. وَلَا يَتَزَوَّدُ فِيهَا. He will not be able to enjoy them or use them. صَالِحًا. For any good whatsoever. لِمُعَادَةِ. وَيُبْتِرْ قَلْبَهُ فَلَا يَمِلْ خَيْرٍ. Then Allah has cut off his heart, so it will never go in the direction of good. And that's a curse from Allah too. That heart will never be able to go towards good because it took an animosity against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَا يُؤْهِلْهُ لِمَعْرِفَتِهِ تَعَالَى. And it will never incline towards knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمُحَبَّتِهِ وَالْإِيمَانِ بِرُسُلِهِ عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Nor will it ever find a love for Allah or Iman or any of His Prophets عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. وَيُبْتِرْ أَعْمَالَهُ. And all of His deeds, even if the good ones are there, they'll be cut off. فَلَا يَسْتَعْمِلُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ فِي طَاعَتِهِ. And even if he has the ability, he will never use his abilities to obey Allah because he's been cut from all good. مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. وَيُبْتِرُهُ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. فَلَا يَجِدُ لَهُ نَاصِرًا وَلَا عَوْنًا. He's been cut off from all kinds of helpers. He will not find anybody to aid him or to anybody to support him. وَيُبْتِرُهُ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْقُرْبِ. And he's cut him off from everything that he would find close to him. فَلَا يَذُوقُ لَهَا طَعْمًا وَلَا يَجِدُ لَهَا حَلَاوَةً. So he will never taste any food, meaning he'll have no goodness ever. And he will never find sweetness or satisfaction in anything, subhanAllah. And this is all لِأَجْلِ هَوَاهُ, because he became an enemy of the Prophet because of his own personal desires. Al-Razi comments, the first thing, ذَكَرُوا فِي سَبَبِ النُّزُولِ وُجُوهًا. This was mentioned in regards to the context of revelation. A few things were mentioned. أَحَدُهَا, the first of them, أَنَّهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ كَانَ يَخْرُجُ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. The Prophet ﷺ used to come out from the masjid. وَالْعَاصْ بِنْ وَائِلْ السَّهْمِ يَدْخُلْ فَالْتَقَيَا فَتَحَدَّثَا. Then they met each other. عَاصْ بِنْ وَائِلْ and the Prophet ﷺ, as he used to come out from the masjid, they met each other and they spoke to each other. وصناديد قريش في المسجد فلما دخل قالوا من الذي كنت تتحدث معه. So when the other people of Quraysh came, they asked Asa ibn Wail, who were you talking to? فقال ذلك الأبتر. He said, that one who's cut off, that guy over there. So he pointed at the messenger in this condescending way and made this comment. So this was said after the Prophet had left, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, Asa ibn Wail talked to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet left, and when he left, they came and said, who are you talking to? And he pointed at the Prophet who's already left. He can't hear them anymore. And said, that one who is Abtar. That's what he said. Now look at the commentary. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ إِسْرَارِ بَعْضِهِمْ مَعَ بَعْضٍ. This was definitely a secret they had among each other. The Prophet was not aware of what they had said. مَعَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَظْهَرَهُ. Despite that, Allah made it manifest. Allah made it obvious what they had said only among each other. فَحِينَ إِذٍ يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ مُعْجِزًا. Therefore it even became a miracle. So when the ayah was revealed, they were like, how did he know? How did he know what I said? So even this is even considered part of the miracle of the Qur'an, that Allah heard what they said even though the Prophet didn't. And the Prophet ﷺ gave him the ayah, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. الْمَسْأَلَةُ الثَّانِيَةِ, the second. الشَّنَآنُ هُوَ الْبُغْضُ وَالشَّانِئُ هُوَ الْمُبْغِضُ. He says also part of the meaning, شَنَآنُ is... and is hatred. Bughd is really hatred. And a shani is someone, an enemy who hates you. أما البتر هو في اللغة الاستئصال القطع. Actually, I'll skip this because at the end it'll become easier for you to understand. Let's go towards the end, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, here's what I want you to look at. When Allah Azza wa Jal described the kuffar, أن الكفرة لما وصفوا بهذه الوصف قيل إن شانئك هو الأبتر. When the kuffar were described, they were described as something that will be cut off. This is important because Allah is alluding to the victory Allah will be giving to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in such a way that no generations of the kuffar will be able to survive in that land. That will never ever happen again. So in those words already was a guarantee of Allah's victory to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is this guarantee going to be a complete surah dedicated just to that subject? Yes. Two surahs from now, we're going to read إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. Right? There this will come completely clear. How will the enemy be discontinued altogether? But now, inshallah ta'ala, wrapping this up, this the three words of animosity, if you remember, I said عُدْوَان animosity, then, شَنَآن and بُغْض. But we'll go stage by stage. The first word is عَدُو. عَدُو is an enemy that wishes to hurt you. He wishes to hurt you, and he's constantly thinking about ways to cause you pain. The idea is, he may not hate you, he may not have any feelings towards you, he just wants to defeat you. So he's constantly making plans, plots and plans to defeat you. Then there's mubghid, or baghid, that's the second stage. It's above animosity. Not only does he want to hurt you, but he has hatred for you on top of that. So there are two things. Baghid actually includes a feeling. Then there's the third degree, which is shani'. Shani is the third of them. And this third one is important because it is one who has the first attribute of adu. He wants to hurt you and defeat you. And second, he has hatred against you also on top of that. And third, he hides some of that hatred and only shows some of it. Whatever he shows is little, but what he's got inside is even worse. So the worst kind of enemy is shani. The worst kind of enemy is shani. And why did Allah use that worst kind of enemy? Because we know, even in sociology or just the history of human tradition, even an enemy will feel sorry for their enemy at the loss of a child. Even an enemy would do that. What kind of enemy could this be that wouldn't even find pain in that, in the death of a child, they would find a reason to celebrate? They can only be called shani. It's an extreme, extreme, extreme enemy. And the strongest and the worst kind of enemy. And so I want to conclude with actually something very, very beautiful that's been said by Imam al-Alusi rahimahullah. Similar things have also been said by Imam Razi. أَنَّ الْعَدُوَّ وَصَفَ وُصِفَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالْقِلَّةِ وَالذِّلَّةِ. This is amazing. The enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was described with a word that refers to having little or nothing. And also a word that is humiliating. الْقِلَّةِ وَالذِّلَّةِ. Al-Abtar, he's not going to have much left. He's going to be discontinued. And it's humiliating because remember we said it's the taint of the animal that's cut. And if you're being compared to a mutilated animal, so it's a humiliating word to use. وَنَفْسَهُ بِالْكَثْرَةِ. And Allah Azza wa Jal attributed his prophet with what? إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. So he contrasted it. When describing the Prophet ﷺ, he used the word that is multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes. When describing the enemy, he used the word that is less and less, rather even cut off completely. Al-Abtar. فَقَلَّبَ اللَّهُ الْأَمْرَ عَلَيْهِ. And this is the exact opposite of what they were saying. They thought they had plenty. And by the way, why did they think they had plenty? You remember we read رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. They thought they had plenty. They thought they had everything. But Allah Azza wa Jal, when describing them, He reverses it and He says, no, it is My Messenger who has plenty. And what's the word for plenty? Al-Kawthar. It's a plentiful word for plenty. Kathir is less, Kawthar is more. And then on top of that, for them, Allah uses the word that is, you know, الذليل, فَالذَلِيلُ مَنْ أَذَلَّهُ اللَّهُ. So we learn here, ذَلِيل, powerless, you know, humiliated, embarrassed is the one who Allah embarrasses. وَالْكَثْرَةُ And the kathra here, وَالْكَوْثَرْ لِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And plentifulness and much and multitudes are for the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَالْأَبْتَرِيَّةِ وَالْدَنَاءَةِ وَالْذِلَّةِ لِلْعَدُوِ. And this being discontinued and this humiliation is for the enemy. فَحَصَلَ بَيْنَ أَوَّلِ السُّورَةِ وَآخِرِهَا نَوْعٌ مِنَ الْمُطَابَقَ لَطِيفٌ. Then we find this between the beginning of the surah and the end of the surah, this unique correlation, this unique contrast that has been produced. Subhanallah. Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. The final thing I want to say to you here, inshallah ta'ala, is that the format of Arabic sentence, syntax, is important. And by that I mean, sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla uses a verb to describe something, and sometimes He uses a noun to describe something. And from a linguistics point of view, verbs are considered temporary, and nouns are considered permanent. That's the difference between them. When Allah gave to the Messenger ﷺ, the past tense was used. Because that was given to him even in his own lifetime. And that's specifically for him. This doesn't continue after him because it's only for him. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the enemy was talked about, the noun format was used. It's jumla ismiya. Inna shani'ak. Mubtada huwa al-abtar khabar. Right? This is jumla ismiya. And the noun format of a sentence is something that is timeless. In other words, this punishment of being discontinued is not just for the enemy that is against you right now. Any enemy of you that will come generations after, thousands of years after, hundreds of years after, so long as he is your enemy, he is cut off. He is cut off. And then you know there's a difference between using the mudari' form and the ism form. In other words, yubtir or yubtar even, he will be cut off. That would have been a verbal form. But Allah uses a noun, and a noun is something that's happening immediately too. The jumla ismiya is happening immediately. In other words, you don't have to wait for him to cut off, it's done. It's happened already. He doesn't even realize that it's happened. It's already, the plans have already begun. You know how sometimes somebody has a disease, the virus is already inside their body, but they haven't felt it yet? But it's already there? That's what Allah is describing in regards to the enemy of the Prophet ﷺ. They might think they're on top. Do the Quraysh think they're on top, that the Messenger is not going to survive, we're going to get rid of him, who's going to listen to him, we already called him crazy and this and that and the other, how's he going to have a following, who's going to follow him anyway? Some kid, some slave, who's going to follow him? How many, you can count his followers on the tips of your fingers. It's been 10 years, he has less than 100, what's he going to get? How many people is he going to get? This is in their head. According to their planning and their statistics and their future projections, there's nothing lined up. He's got no plans. But Allah has His own plan. And according to them, they have all the power, all the strength, all the ability, all the means. So there's no way that they're going to go down in any way. That's not in their fathom. But Allah Azza wa Jalla has guaranteed it already. And this is a Makki surah. And at the time, even if they heard, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَى, they'll be like, yeah, right. Come on, really? We're going to be cut off? Please. Another empty threat. Right? They weren't talking like that when Makkah is conquered. They weren't talking like that in 12, 15 years. But at that time, they're talking like that. So Allah Azza wa Jal changes the scenario. He changes the scenery. This is why this surah and the rest that are coming, I mentioned before, they are so important because they are directly tied to the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the seerah of the Prophet is important in understanding the work of the Messenger. Because we as an ummah have to carry out the work of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. That work is not done. That work, the best part of it is done, but the job has to be continued. And we cannot continue it in the best way until we understand what the Messenger himself went through and what responsibility has been put on our shoulder, and what encouragement even Allah is giving us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in dealing with this. Now, one quick comment about the next surah, and we're done for the evening, inshallah ta'ala. And that is that the next surah is Suratul Kafirun. Allah here mentioned the enemy. Inna shani'ak. He didn't say innal kafir. He said inna shani'ak, your enemy. Who is your enemy though? The kafir. The kafir has become your enemy. So here Allah Azza wa Jal alluded to who your enemy is. But in the next surah it will become perfectly clear who exactly the enemy is. And why is he your enemy? Are you fighting over land? Are you fighting over territory? Are you fighting over my character? What's the fight about? What's the fight about? The fight is about who should be worshipped. They were told, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. They didn't do that. So what do we find in the next surah? لَا أَعْبُدُوا مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. We're going to find that contrast between the two. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll study that profound surah in depth next week. Barakallahu li walakum fi al-Qur'an al-Hakim. Wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil-ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.